Board of Supervisors will convene. Ms. Wendy, would you read the pledge?
Certainly. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You're the chaplain today, sir. I'm sorry, I forgot your name, but...
That's okay. Bob.
Bob. Welcome. Thank you for being here.
And your last name as well?
Mason.
Mason, thank you.
That's great. Our dear Creator, we thank you for the gift of life, the gift of one another, the gift of leaders and people. Father, we ask your blessing, your guidance, and your wisdom today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay. Anna, would you give, for those online, the instruction of how to access online, just for clarification?
For those of you online, if you'd like to raise your hand to speak at any time, please press star 9, and that will get our attention, and we will call upon you in the order in which you raise your hand.
Thank you. Roll call, Ms. Wendy.
All righty. Let's do my announcement first. The board will be meeting today as the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District and County Service Area 4 and receives no additional compensation. Supervisor Help.
Present.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
I'm here.
Supervisor Chris.
Present.
Supervisor Ogren.
Present.
And Supervisor Kopsett.
Here.
Thank you.
Item 4, presentations from the public. This time slot is for information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You will be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. Written comments can be presented if so desired by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. When addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments. Please address the board as a whole through the chair. Comments should be limited to matters within the jurisdiction of the board. Are there any online public comments?
Showing none online at this time.
At this time. We'll come back to it just in case. So in-house, we're going to start with Jesus Gacho, is it? If I'm mispronouncing that, I'm sorry.
Jesus.
Come up here to the podium. Good morning.
Good morning.
If you would state your name for the record, please.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning. My name is Jesus Figueroa Cacho. I'm with the SAIU 2015. We here in this county, because I was just reading these notes, that all these people here with the purple, you know, we are here because they want a new contract. You know, taking care of sick people in their own home, because we are humans, we all get sick. And the cost of living in California is outrageous. And these people, this is the county that they have the lowest pay for the employees and people in their own home. They can't find somebody to take care of their sick people because they have to go to work. They have to pay bills. So this is why we're here, to get a contract for these workers, because I think they deserve a contract. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Audrey Williams.
Good morning. My name is Audrey Williams, and I'm also an IHSS caregiver and SEIU 2015 union member. We need a contract. This isn't right. There's people that have to choose between PG&E, food, and rent. There's people that can't even afford to get their kids to school, and it's not right. We need a contract.
Thank you. Brenda Guerra, is it?
It's Brenda Garner.
Garner, sorry.
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning to each and every one of you all. My name is Brenda Garner, and I am an IHS worker. And as you all know, the cost of living is just tremendous, too high. Even the rent is just too damn high. And we're asking today for a fair contract for all 400,000 home care providers. Thank you very much, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Neil Arneson. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Neil Aronson. Let me first thank you all for listening to our plight intently. Whether you can do anything about it, that's up to you guys, but at least you're actually listening to us. Our biggest problem as home health caregivers is we're on duty actually 24 hours a day, even though we don't get that kind of hours to work. And so a lot of the time that we put in is pro bono. So we're not getting paid if we have to get up at midnight and help our recipient. And that can be a problem. But it'd be nice to have a living wage as opposed to a minimum wage. So I thank you for considering that.
Thank you. Suzette Miller?
Good morning, Board of Supervisors. I'm Suzette Miller. Thank you for hearing what we have to say. I am an IHSS provider, and I belong to the SEIU 2015 Local 2015 Union, and I believe that we need a contract for everyone here in this county to have a contract. Sick pay, we deserve a livable wage to get out of poverty. Our clients deserve good providers, and I just want to ask you to hear what we have to say, and thank you.
Thank you. Vicki Esquivel?
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is my first time at a board meeting, so good morning to all of you. My name is Vicki Esquivel. I worked for the county as a child support case manager for 24 years. I had to retire early in 2020 because I have two children that I provide IHSS support for, and the only other services available to provide independent living services or SLS, supportive living services, is Compass, and their services kept falling through the cracks. My sons were getting incorrect medications. The doctors would call me and say they missed appointments. Then my autistic son came up with type 1 diabetes. He almost died, so he was in the hospital. So I took 3 months off work with the county, leave of absence, to train a Compass worker. Was that my job? No. But I wanted to ensure that my son had proper care with autism. Now he's got type 1 diabetes. After 3 months, she quit because he had a meltdown. Autistic are frequent with meltdowns. So then I took another 3 months leave with the county to train another Compass worker. By then, I had so much anxiety about returning to work because of constantly having to leave work. Thank God I had a good director, very supportive, but was I getting promotions? No, I understood that. But I ended up taking an early leave to provide support for my oldest son. My younger son has Down syndrome. The statistics for marriages staying together, when you have one disabled child, the statistics of divorce is very high. After 38 years, my husband left. And so now I'm a single parent. I brought a statement. I only have 45 seconds.
No,
we can
go.
Okay. Caregivers are a vital part of the most vulnerable part of our community. I mean, the recipients are the most vulnerable members of our community, the disabled and the elderly. I don't feel recognized as being part of their health care team, and I am. Caregivers make a significant difference, allowing low-income people to remain safely in their home, maintain their independence, dignity, and well-being in their familiar surroundings. Enhances their quality of life, remains connected to their neighborhood and community resources. So paying caregivers appropriately with benefits enhances the well-being of the entire community. When I take my Down syndrome son into the community, he's very popular. He's maybe 32. Hi, Dustin. Hey, Dustin, how's it going? Hey, Dustin. And I'm like, hello, I'm the mom. My name is Vicky. I don't get that like he does.
I'll need you to wrap up.
Okay. Minimum wages create a fast turnaround of providers, interrupting much-needed services to the recipients. There's no such thing as a smooth transition, especially when you have autistic or the elderly. Change is extremely difficult, and it's detrimental to the recipient. So we feel undervalued. Finally, providing care at home through IHSS is significantly more cost-effective than the alternative, which is institutional care in long-term facilities, saving the state substantial expenses. I know from personal experience. My son, when he was 13, the autistic son, became dangerous in the community. I tried with all my might to keep him home, but I could no longer do it. He was sent away to a facility in Utah for 3 years, 13 to 16 years old. My husband, I was married at that time, visited him every 6 weeks. The expense was astronomical.
Can you finish up, please?
Yes. So, I just want to say thank you for letting me speak. Pretty much said it on my points.
Thank you. Jacob Kivitz.
Good morning, Board. Jacob Hibbets, Susanville resident, Siskiyou County union organizer. I want to introduce you to a few of my friends that I brought with me today. They are incredible people, all home care providers, all working across the state to make sure that people's lives are better and that the people that are caring for them have the dignity and the respect and the pay that they deserve. We have 500 providers in this county. They are the last 500 providers in the state without a union contract, and they are the only providers now in this state making minimum wage. If 57 other counties can figure out how to do it, Siskiyou County can too. Thank you.
Thank you. Teresa Schnack. If there's anyone else that would like to make public comment, there's some blue cards up there on the table. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Teresa Schnacker. I'm a caregiver for my son, who is autistic, you know, and we save the county lots of money. We put our money back into our counties, you know. I don't know if you have worked as a provider or if you had a relative, but the importance of our job, the things we do, the things we go through. You know, I changed my son's diaper. I bring him out in the community, and our money stays local, but also our care for each and individual that is important, that they are independent and that they are taken care of. And like they said, I am from Del Mar County, and we get $17.60 for our little community an hour. So if we can do it, I know you guys can do it, and I know you guys care about your people in this county, and that's the important part of the community. So thank you for your time, and have a great day.
Heather Dowden. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. My name is Heather, and I just want to let you know that I've been in this union for over 5 years. I take care of my 9-year-old son, who is very hyperactive. He's full-time. I also have a 17-year-old that is still living with us. And our main concern is we're not making enough wages so I can
you know, pay my bills, pay rent, because rent is so high up, and I'm trying to take care of a family of three on my own. I'm a single mother, and I'm just wanted to let you guys know that it's very, very, very tough for all of us to try to take care of our families, trying to work, trying to take care of other families, and it's very difficult. And right now, I have been struggling with all different kinds of, debt problems, because it's hard for me to try to make a car payment, it's hard for me to pay rent, it's hard for me to get groceries. It's because everything has gone up so much. And with the statistics as of today, that with everything going up, and food is getting more and more expensive, car insurances are getting more expensive, rents have definitely gotten very expensive, and it's hard to have a single mom with, or just any families, actually. It doesn't matter if you're married or single or whatever, but just in my case, I live in a studio apartment with two boys, which I've still been trying to get out of, and I'm paying high rent, and with groceries, and trying to take care of them, and it's, I'm either dealing with, okay, so what payment do I put off this month? Is it PG&E? Is it rent? Is it my car payment? Or is it car insurance? And I have to sit there and juggle. And not just me. I mean, we all struggle with our bills and with just everything in life, because we're trying to just... We're not trying, we are. We're working for our families, we're taking care of our family members, but at the same time, we are also taking care of other families. I'm taking care of three families, and of course mine, and I'm sitting there juggling. So I just want to say, please take into consideration of what we do. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go online for a bit, Anna.
100%. Caller ending in 2928, it is your turn to speak.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Leticia Guerrero, and I'm still calling in favor of the IHSS caregivers that are there. Caregivers, they give selflessly. They put the needs of their constituents before their own. Nobody knows what it's like to do this job and actually done this job. It's physically, emotionally, socially, and financially draining. The money that they make also goes into investing for the people that they're caring for. They wind up using their money for gas to take their people to and from appointments. They wind up, you know, buying them food. They care about the people that they're caring for. They don't just spend their money on themselves. Money that they make actually for working actually goes back into caring for the people that they care for. 9 times out of 10. As Teresa was saying, I heard her speaking about how the money is spent locally. The county is only going to pay cents per dollar. The funds are matched by the federal and the state. So y'all are only paying a percentage of the raise. If you were to give caregivers a dollar, you'd only be paying a percentage, a small percentage of that. You guys have the ability to show the caregivers in your community that you value their, you value your constituents and believe in what they do. They care for the elderly and disabled. This is a job that deserves dignity and respect, and to be the only county statewide without a contract is speaking volumes to how much you guys really don't care. And I just really would like you guys to remember that no one is exempt from a tragedy or an accident happening. Not just elderly are being cared for. People that have life tragedies happen to them, wind up having disabilities or needing care, so no one's exempt from that. And I think it's time that you guys really dig deep and figure out what you're going to do to make this right. These caregivers are in here peeping. It's time for you guys to give them a contract. This has been way too long, and it's kind of ridiculous. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
That that's all we have for online.
That's all online. Then we'll go back in house. I may be getting this wrong. Is it Christina James? Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Christina James, Mama Charlie, your queen, Miss Elite, for the Odessa Taylor Lupus Foundation. I am an IHSS care provider, and I have been with the union for over 20 years. Care providing is not what I do, it is who I am. I receive recipients through Adult Protective Services, Child Protective Services, as well as my own family. So Lord forbid that somebody goes out there and gets into an accident, who's going to care for them? We need livable wages. We need to know that we are here, that we're not just babysitters, and that we actually do the work. I don't know about you, but I put in 127 hours a week. Who takes care of me when I'm sick? Nobody, because I'm still caring for those that I need to take care of. We need to be respected, heard, and know that we are appreciated. Thank you.
Thank
My
you.
Name is Charstina.
Rosanna Perez. Good morning.
Good morning. First and foremost, thank you for having us and hearing us.
Your name for the record.
Rosanna Perez.
Thank you.
First and foremost, you know, hearing everyone's story today and the need only goes to show the needs of our community when it comes to our seniors and our folks with disability. I used to work in a care facility. I was an administrator of a 49-bed facility. The work that all of our providers do, including myself at home, is equivalent to the work that we perform in facilities. Whether that's skilled, whether that's assisted living, it is the same type of work. So the question is always, why are we not seen? Why are we not respected? I know Leticia shared on the Zoom that there's monies that goes into this, right? And so there's three different entities that pour into our raises, into our contracts. So when you really sit down with us at the bargaining table, you have the opportunity to see what is your percentage of pouring into our raises. And understanding the realignment fees, the money that you will get back. And so it really becomes to be a small portion of what you're responsible for. So what my ask today is, when we sit at the table and we talk about bargaining contracts, really, you know, to be receptive and to really come in with an open mind and understanding of how that money does come back to you and what you're really actually responsible for. We understand that every different entity needs money, but I believe that us IHSS providers have waited. We've heard year after year that it's not time. We believe that the time is now. We've been patient. We understand there is other entities that are high priority, but home care is a high priority, or else the program wouldn't exist, right? And so today when we opened up with prayer, that is a prayer of mine that I ask God to really, really work on your hearts and your open mind into bargaining a fair contract with us. And so I believe that we can do it. I believe that you guys will show up and really, really value the work that we do. And thank you for your time. Have a good day.
Sean Pagnano. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm with SEIU. I'm actually staff now. Have been staff for 8 years.
Name?
I'm a chief negotiator for IHSS, and I've been nursing home.
Your name,
well.
Ma'am?
Pardon?
Your name for the
Sean.
Record. Thank you.
Thank you. I worked as a care provider for 17 years in a nursing home. Extremely struggle. They struggle. Those nursing homes cost about $6,000 a bed, and those people are dumped in there and forgotten about, a lot of them. I know one of you on the board has been an IHSS member. You have the heart. You know what these individuals go through. They didn't wake up one day and say, hey, maybe I'll just acquire an autistic son or a child with Down syndrome, or maybe my mom's not going to do so well, and I'm going to have to take care of them. My mother passed away in July. She needed a care provider. Kept her out of the nursing homes. When she was in the nursing homes, she wasn't taken care of. She was abused. She was left. I'd go in there and find her wet, just disgusting. And she'd fall, and she ended up dying. And, you know, that's a lot. And if these individuals, as you can see, they're home. They're making barely anything to take care of their loved one. They don't get a pass. They don't get sick days. They don't get vacation. They don't get to say, hey, today I'm not going to be a parent. Hey, today I'm not going to take care of this loved one. Hey, today I'm just not going to do it. They don't get but a fraction of those hours to take care of someone who they're taking care of 24/7. They don't get a choice. All of you sit here comfortably. I see this. You may not have the struggles you may. I don't know. I don't know your story. But I know that you probably go home and you get to kick up your feet and you get to relax. And you don't have to sit there with a child that's having a meltdown. I have an autistic grandson. He does get overloads. He's very hard to calm down. And it hurts my heart that this is something he has to live with for the rest of his life. They don't get that break. When you go home and you kick up your feet and you get that wine, that coffee, you get to watch a movie, get that bit of peace and quiet, and you get a good night's sleep, remember, a lot of these people in your community aren't getting that. They're not. They have to wake up to screams. They have to wake up to change people. They have to wake up to see their child deteriorating or their loved one deteriorating day after day after day. They deserve respect. You guys are here to serve your community. You're here to help. Please, I pray that you do help. Because this is not a job everyone can do. Can you lay with someone while they're dying? Can you say goodbye to them? Can any of you on the board lay with somebody and give them that respect while they're dying? These people can. I have. I've done it numerous times when nobody was around. Thank you.
Thank you. Laura Rivera?
Rivera,
sorry.
So I'm Laura Rivera, good morning, and I'm here because I don't think it's right for, you know, anybody to make minimum wage just taking care of a loved one, a friend, you know. This is my second job, actually my third job. I'm also a respiratory therapist. I work for skilled nursing in a hospital. Our skilled nursing facility costs about $16,000 a month, so it's a lot more than $6,000. Used to be $6,000. So it's a lot less for us to take care of loved ones. We give the one-on-one. I do a lot of work where, you know, I don't get paid for it. You know, they want to micromanage each patient say, okay, well, you get 30 seconds to help them get dressed, and we're not going to, you know, pay you, because, like, we live in Weaverville. We have to go down to Reading for affordable groceries. We're not going to pay you to drive there, you know, but we'll pay you to drive back, and you only get a half hour in the store. So there's a lot of stuff that I do that, you know, I don't get paid for, and I didn't do it because of the pay. I did because I care about my friend, because he's dying of cancer, and there was nobody else to take care of him. I don't want to see him in a care home. I don't want him stuck in there. I want him to have some freedom. So, you know, I'm always picking him up, you know, including him in my family, helping him with whatever he needs. And there's a lot of things that I don't get paid for. I make sure that when I'm not there, that there's somebody that he can call, that, you know, if he needs to go somewhere, if he needs some help, there's somebody there. And I pay for it out of my own pocket. You know, I sometimes buy him groceries because he doesn't have enough food stamps. I make sure that he gets to his appointments. You know, nobody else does that. You know, it's me. And I don't think it's right, you know, to make minimum wage when you work at McDonald's or Burger King or Taco Bell and you make 20, you know. So a little bit of increase would be nice. I mean, everything has gone up, PG&E, water, you know, rent, you know, everything. Groceries, it used to cost me $2.50 to feed my family, and I feed others. I'm eating rice and beans, and, you know, it's costing us $600. So, and, you know, I have a family of five. So, you know, with all that being said, we're saving you money, you know, by watching, by taking care of people that have disabilities, people that are sick, people that are dying. And, you know, I do that in my regular job. Sometimes all you can do is hold a person's hand and watch them die. And that's really hard. Not everybody can do that, you know, but we can do that. And we've dedicated our lives to do that. And, you know, at least, you know, give us respect and increase the wage a little so that, you know, we can survive on just this income. And I wouldn't be able to survive on just this income. So, you know, I work day and night, you know, I work after work. I don't get time off.
Thank you. Megan, I'm not sure, I can't.
Good here.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Megan Goodhue. I am a staff member. I'm a political organizer. Siskiyou is one of the 12 counties I cover in my job. I appreciate people speaking on earlier on the small percentage that Siskiyou County actually puts into the wage of IHLS providers. That is 7%, which is 7 cents on the dollar. I know that Siskiyou can definitely afford to support their IHSS care providers. And in IHSS, in the union, we talk about the silver tsunami. California is rapidly aging. The average age of a care provider is 55 years old. If we do not make this workforce and this work more attractive, who is going to care? Who is going to care for our caregivers that are aging themselves? Who is going to care for all of you? Who is going to care for me? There is going to be no one left to care if we continue to pay minimum wage. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else online, Anna?
Showing none online.
Okay. Then we'll end public comment and move on to item 5, consent agenda. We're going to pull items 5I, 5J, 5K, 5L, 5M, and 5O. Right? That's it?
Correct.
And by
and we're going to continue those to the next meeting, October
15th. Okay, thank you.
So I'm looking for action on the balance, unless there's something else to be pulled.
Nothing else to be pulled. I'll make the rest of it. I'll second.
Alrighty. Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
And that was for the balance, correct?
Yes. And I've saved the worksheets here for you for next week.
For next time, thank you. And I understand the department may be adding documents to those agenda items.
That is correct.
But we're essentially continuing them as they are. Thank you.
Okay, so with that, we are at item 6A, County Administration. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, board members. Good morning. Elizabeth Nielsen, Deputy County Administrator. During the September 3rd board meeting, the board requested that I provide an update on issues related to groundwater wells resulting from Lower Klamath Dam removal, and the board requested that I make that or I provide that information during today's board meeting. The board also requested that staff write a letter to FERC to be submitted by Nossaman LLP, our outside counsel who is responsible, who is intervening with FERC on the county's behalf. Since that meeting, the board and staff were also informed of additional issues potentially related to Lower Klamath Dam removal, including land subsidence within the vicinity of the project and the closure of Collier Rest Area. As a reminder, in section 3.2.3.4 of the final environmental impact statement, it states that up to 70 wells within the 1,000 feet of the Kopko Reservoir could be affected by the project. Beginning in January of 2024, after the reservoir drawdown was initiated, a well that services 11 homes on Patricia Avenue began experiencing production issues, including loss of water and sediment intrusion. An above-ground potable water tank was delivered as a temporary solution to this location. KRRC has stated to the county and to the residents out there that they are working on a permanent solution, but as of today's date, there hasn't been anything concrete for that permanent solution. Since January, there have been two other additional wells on Patricia Avenue that have experienced issues, either sediment intrusion or going dry. We were informed yesterday that those wells are receiving permanent solutions. And we did include in our letter to FERC a map that outlines those wells with issues. In our letter to FERC, we made the following demands to FERC that were asking that they require KRRC to provide a permanent solution for homes along Patricia Avenue that have underproducing groundwater wells by October 30th. We included this specific date because we are coming upon winter months, and those temporary solutions are above-ground tanks with above-ground piping that are likely to freeze. We also made the demand that if any other wells within the vicinity of the project experience similar issues, KRRC will provide an immediate temporary solution and a permanent solution within 6 months of the issue. We also requested that if the permanent solution involves the Kopko Water Company, that KRRC provide the funding to upgrade their system and water source to be able to assume new users. Kopko Mutual Water Company has been experiencing issues with their piping for their water delivery system due to land subsidence. Several pipes have cracked. The water company has expended upwards of $32,000 to make these repairs, which is a significant cost to the small water company. And then in addition, with Collier Rest Area, we were informed in September that Collier Rest Area will be closed indefinitely due to water quality issues. In our letter to FERC, we asked that by October 10th, KRRC deliver a tank to provide water to Collier Rest Area, and that they finance and make permanent repairs to allow Collier Rest Area to open and remain open. Yesterday, our project manager for Klamath Dam Removal and myself made a visit out to Kopko and visited a home on Patricia Avenue, which is experiencing issues related to land subsidence. There is cracks in the surface around the home, and then cracks within the basement and within the garage of the home. We are making a request to KRRC that they bring out a third-party contractor to assess the situation and make repairs if needed. And finally, just as a reminder, the board did submit, or Nossaman on behalf of the board, did submit a letter to FERC in April. We were informed by FERC that if we submitted a letter, they would be required to respond to us. We have yet to receive a response from FERC, and in our letter to FERC, we did ask that they respond to the April letter and the letter that we sent last week within 30 days of their receipt of the letter. And with that, I'm happy to take any questions from the board. As a reminder, included in the agenda item was the draft letter. That draft letter was signed and submitted by Nossaman Friday of last week. I do have final copies here, but that letter on the agenda is in the same form as the letter that was submitted to FERC.
Questions from the board? The only thing that I see in page 5, where we talk about the 32,000 gallon water tank delivered by October 10th, it's to the Collier Rest Area, not just C2C. Caltrans currently is the only one. The reason it's closed is because the vegetation is dying.
Correct.
And they don't want people in there until they can get it irrigated properly. So it's the overall Collier
rest area
instead of C2C, because C2C is a different entity. It's in there, but it's
yes.
a nonprofit.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
That does make sense. And so if we, I'll go back to letter of
I would
love.
Call
if
it out
to
as
make,
the Collier rest area.
We will make that clarification. Because
everything else will fall into line.
Yes.
Is included in the Collier is included within the state rest area.
Yes.
Understood.
But C2C is a separate entity that's just housed there at that rest area. And I would indicate, and I'm sorry, I didn't catch it if you did, but Collier rest area receives over 1 million visitors a year, and it's the premier rest area on I-5 in California. It's an economic factor that's not included, so it's a pretty big deal for something that was supposed to not have any problems during dam removal.
Correct.
Everything should be mitigated because it's cause and effect. Any other project would be liable for what's taking place currently.
Correct.
It is not, I'm just saying that it is not a maintenance failure on Caltrans part. It's a direct result of dam removal.
Yes.
Okay. Does Chelsea have anything she wants to
add? I don't know. She's in town for the week and we're...
Just want to say hi. Okay. Okay.
All right.
For this same item, just for the record, there is a correspondence that was received by the clerk's office from William Simpson, and it was forwarded. I believe the board was all copied on it. I do have hard copies here if anybody wants to see them, but just to make that part of the record.
Thank you.
There is one more thing. I do want to make sure that it's somehow noted that there not only is C2C open 5 days a week, but there is a permanent paid employee that will no longer be allowed to work and will be losing wages as well.
Go ahead.
Yeah, just throw there. I realize the public may want us to make comments on it, but this letter, I think, says it accurately. What COPCO's facing, so I'm just not going to pound the drums up here, but thank you. The letter says it accurately.
I appreciate that. Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Okay.
So, Professor Powell? One other thing. I paid a visit out there last week. I already brought this up with Elizabeth. If you could check on the status of Patricia, whether that's a county road or not, it appears that it's got a tremendous amount of surface cracking.
Yes.
Lengthwise on the road, it looks like stress cracks.
Yes.
Because of subsidence.
Yes.
Out there, you can check on that. And then the other thing too is I know the road department's really working hard on things, but driving down the north side of the river, there's significant damage to COPCO Road that isn't being kept up with.
Yes.
Damage to passenger vehicles is probable. Even now between the fish hook and the residents down there near the Pinetown Bridge, which is new from when we were out there a few months ago. Significant damage. I mean, I really had to maneuver around just to keep following the models.
Understood. I appreciate those comments, and I will speak with our Public Works Director, Tom Deaney, this week, and we also have secured a meeting with KRRC next week to specifically discuss the Roads and Bridges MOU.
Yeah, I think it's, beyond the issues with the MOU and that kind of thing, my concern is a public safety issue that the county's going to allow for all this dithering back and forth with the Roads MOU.
Yes.
Supervisor Chris?
Thanks. Well, by the way, we'll add more to it. Patricia, it is a county road instead of they've seen an increase in cracking. The population out there really wants to move on. They want to move on. They want their lives to be normal. They just, KRC needs to, they just need to step forward with the appropriate, the dam rural entities just need to step forward with the appropriate steps to make the goal. But people want to move on. They just want to be left whole. The person that's complaining about the cracks in the basement and just wants to be home.
Yes, understandably.
One last thing, I'm sorry. We received a response to our emergency declaration on water quality, and the governor replied that Siskiyou County had enough resources to deal with it. I think we need to underscore, potentially in this letter, that Siskiyou County does not have the resources to mitigate or repair for a project that received over $500 million of state funding. So
we will continue
something
to reiterate.
That
okay.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, one more question. With that 32,000 gallon water supply,
yes,
if that's potable water, does that have to be tested, and who's going to test the water?
We would request that KRRC test it.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. We are going to recess as the Board of Supervisors and convene as the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District. We are item 7A, public comment. Is there any public comment in-house? Seeing none. Any online?
Showing online.
Minute approval, 7B.
No changes.
Looking for action. Board approved. I have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Whoever you'd like.
Director Haupt?
Aye.
Director Valenzuela?
Aye.
Director Chris?
Aye.
Director Ogren?
Aye.
And Director Kopsa?
Aye. We'll adjourn to the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District. We will convene as the County Service Area 4, item 8A. This is public comment. Any public comment in-house? Seeing none. Online?
Showing none online.
Item B. I move to approve.
Second.
All righty. Director Haupt?
Aye.
Director Valenzuela?
Yep.
Excuse me, Director Chris?
Aye.
Director Ogren?
Aye.
And Director Kopsev?
Aye. We'll adjourn as County Service Area 4. And we'll reconvene as the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors, and we're at item 9A, County Clerk.
Okay, this is an unscheduled vacancy. It's on the Aetna Cemetery District. This would be for a term ending January 3rd of 2028, and it was due to Richard Rick Kramer, who passed away. The board, or the clerk's office, did our posting as normal, and then we asked the district board to do their posting, which they did as well. At this time, we've received no letters of interest in serving, but if we could continue it, I'd appreciate it.
We'll continue.
Thank you.
Minute approval, 10A, for September 17th.
All right.
The clerk has put out.
The only change I have would be for the 17th, September 17th, page 154. It's under the county clerk's item to reschedule a personnel appeal hearing. There's two paragraphs that we normally add to that that language, and I just missed it. So
okay,
if we'll add those two paragraphs at the end of that item.
Okay.
That's the only change I have.
Okay.
To approve as corrected.
Second. All righty. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
Thank you.
We're at 11, item 11, public hearings. And just for clarification, do I need to read number 2 on this, or is it just...
For item number 2, you would just indicate the order of presentation is as set forth in the agenda.
Okay, thank you. So we'll open the hearing for, hold on here, public hearing to consider resolution directing staff to issue a notice of non-renewal for properties under the Williamson Act contracts number 93002, 83015, 72005, 72025, 72030A, and 72007A for project AGN 24-02. Who is the staff report on this?
I have to turn off the...
Okay. Supervisor Chris is recusing.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Supervisor,
you can get this. Okay, go ahead.
Yes.
We just need your name for the record.
Supervisors, hello and good morning. My name is James Phelps. I'm a senior planner with the County of Siskiyou. Today I present for your consideration agenda item AGN 2402. This agenda item deals with six Williamson Act contracts which are subject to non-renewal. The first contract for your consideration is contract number 93002. The property in question is owned by the Nature Conservancy. The listed use for the property is ranching. The property is comprised of 227 acres contained in six parcels that are zoned AG1, AG2, and RR 40-acre minimum. This property is located in Scott Valley between French Creek Road and Miners Creek Road. In 2023, the Nature Conservancy purchased the property from Miners Creek LLC. Because only a portion of the land under contract was purchased, 79% of the total contract, the new owner is required to have a separate contract. On or about January 10th, 2024, county staff sent a letter regarding the need to obtain a separate contract. The property owner requested information on the application process. Thereafter, the property owner declined to pursue a contract. The rule is, if a new property owner fails to obtain a separate contract, the county may issue a notice of non-renewal. Because the Nature Conservancy has failed to apply for a separate contract, staff is recommending that a notice of non-renewal be issued on this. The second contract for your consideration is contract number 83015. The property in question is owned by Sierra Cascade Nursery. The listed use for the property is farming. The property is comprised of 421 acres contained in one parcel that is zoned AG1. This particular property is located south of Mount Hebron, east of Highway 97, and west of Lieber's Lane, south of the city of McDowell. In 2022, Sierra Cascade purchased the property from the Barron Family Trust. Because only a portion of the land under contract was purchased, approximately 78% of the contract, the new owner is required to have a separate contract. On or about August 15, 2023, county staff sent a letter regarding the need to obtain a separate contract. The property owner requested information on the application process. Thereafter, the property owner declined to pursue a contract. The rule is, if a new property owner decides not to obtain a separate contract, the county may issue a notice of non-renewal. Staff is recommending that because the property owner has not obtained a separate contract, the county may issue a notice of non-renewal, my apologies. Because Sierra Cascade has not applied for a separate contract, staff is recommending that a notice of non-renewal be issued on this. The third contract for your consideration is contract number 72005. The property in question is owned by Shasta Cascade Timberlands LLC. The listed use for this property is forestry. The property is comprised of 160 acres contained in one parcel that is zoned AG2, 40-acre minimum. This property is located south of Schumacher Road, south of the city of Rarica, southwest of I-5 and Old Highway 99 South. In 2021, a self-survey completed by the owner stated the primary use of the property was forestry. In 2023, the annual self-survey was not returned. Thereafter, a notice of non-compliance was mailed to Shasta Cascade on or about October 31st, 2023, with no response received by the county. The primary use of the property must be commercial agriculture. Forestry does not qualify as commercial agriculture. Because of this, staff is recommending that a notice of non-renewal be issued.
What's the size of the acreage on this?
This is 160, okay. Your Honor. The original contract covered 400 acres. The fourth contract for your consideration is contract number 72025. The property in question is owned by Acer Klamath Forest LLC. The listed use for the property is ranching. The property is comprised of 640 acres contained in two parcels, zoned RR 40-acre minimum. This property is located south of West Greenhorn Road and McAdams Creek Road, west of the city of Rarica. In 2022, Acer Klamath Forest acquired the property from the Michigan-California Timber Company. Because only a portion of the land under contract was purchased, 18% of the total contract, the new owner is required to have a separate contract. On or about June 22, 2022, staff sent a letter to the new owner informing them of the need to have a separate contract. The new owner applied for a new contract on or about May 22, 2023, but has not completed the application process for a separate contract. On October 3rd, 2023, staff sent a final 60-day notice to complete the required documentation, and no response has been received. The 2023 self-survey was not returned, and no reply has been received in response to staff's request for additional information. The rule is, if a new property owner decides not to obtain a separate contract, the county may issue a notice of non-renewal. Because Acer Klamath has failed to complete the application process to apply for a separate contract, it's been almost 2 years since the change of ownership. Staff is recommending that a notice of non-renewal be issued. The fifth contract for your consideration is contract number 72030A. The property in question is owned by Acer Klamath Forest, LLC. The listed use for the property is ranching. The property is comprised of 280 acres contained in one parcel that is zoned AG1, 40-acre minimum. This property is located north and east of Montague, north and east of the Siskiyou County Airport, and south of the intersection of York Road and Bogus Creek South Fork. In 2021, Acer purchased this property from the Fruit Growers Supply Company. Because only a portion of the land under contract was purchased, approximately 15% of the contract, the new owner is required to have a separate contract. The new owner has not completed the application process. The 2023 self-survey was not returned, and no reply has been received in response to staff's request for additional information. If a new property owner decides not to obtain a separate contract, the county may issue a notice of non-renewal. Because Acer Klamath has failed to complete the application process to apply for a separate contract, this contract, it's been almost 3 years since the change in ownership. Staff is recommending that a notice of non-renewal be issued. The final contract for your consideration is contract number 72077A. The property in question is owned by Acer Klamath Forest, LLC. The listed use for the property is ranching. The property is comprised of 2,320 acres contained in eight parcels that are zoned AG2, 40-acre minimum. This property is also located north and east of Montague, east of the Siskiyou County Airport, and south of the intersection of York Road and Bogus Creek South Fork. In 2021, Acer purchased the property from the Fruit Growers Supply Company. Because only a portion of the land under contract was purchased, 74% of the contract, the new owner is required to have a separate contract. The new owner has not completed the application process. The 2023 self-survey was not returned, and no reply has been received in response to our request for information. If a new property owner decides not to obtain a separate contract, the county may issue a notice of non-renewal recommendation. Because Acer Klamath has failed to complete the application process to apply for a separate contract, it's been almost 3 years since the change in ownership. Staff recommends that a notice of non-renewal be issued. Should the board agree with staff's recommendations, the planning department will send the notices of non-renewal to the assessor's office. The deadline to file the notices of non-renewal is November 1st, 2024. Once these documents have been recorded, it will trigger property tax reassessment, and the 9-year phase-out period will commence. Land use restrictions will continue for a period of 9 years. In general, non-renewals do not trigger CEQA review. Notice that this project was published and posted prior to this meeting, and no public comments were received. Staff has determined that this project is categorically exempt from CEQA pursuant to Guideline 15317, entitled Open Space Contracts and Easements. This Class 17 exemption applies because this project does not cancel an existing contract, but instead is a non-renewal of a portion of a contract. This concludes my staff report. I am available for questions as needed. Thank you.
Thank you. Presentation of correspondence.
There's been no correspondence at the clerk's level.
Okay. Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff of other county departments or public agencies. Anyone in-house? Seeing none. Online?
Showing none online.
Proponents, arguments, and or evidence. Anyone in-house? Seeing none. Anyone online?
Showing none online.
None online. Opponents, arguments, and or evidence. Anyone in-house? Seeing none. Online?
Showing none online.
Public comment? Anyone in-house? Seeing none. Online?
Showing none online.
There's no rebuttal by proponents or rebuttal by opponents. Before I close the hearing, is there any questions from the board? Supervisor Howell?
Maybe it's just me. It probably is. I really struggle with the term contract with these things, with this 9-year phase-out period. In contract law, this is a legal question, I guess, is that once the party who signed that contract is no longer part of that contract, the contract should be severed. Why does it take 9 years to get these off the books? To me, there wouldn't be a contract if it's something else.
I think it's the way the state
said. Non-renewal is a statutory provision.
Yeah.
It's in government code.
Yeah.
Even though the parties are not, the parties to the contract are no longer parties to the contract.
It's Williamson Act legislation.
Yeah.
So then that.
Your Honor.
Yeah.
The contract runs with the land. For a Williamson Act contract, when you purchase the land, it runs with the land. However, because you're not party to the original contract, the county asks that you get a separate contract.
Right. I'm really struggling with the NGOs and the purchase of grant properties. It's where I'm really having a difficult time with this and taking 9 years to get them off the books. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'll leave it alone. No. Personal problem, I guess.
Anyone else? Question? I would just ask that somehow when these are filed, can the board be notified so that we know that it took place? Because a lot of times we do something and then after the fact we find out it didn't get done. I'm not saying you won't get it done. I'm just saying it'd be helpful. So that we know that it is accomplished. So, okay?
Yes, Your Honor, we'll bring that back to you.
Okay, so we'll close the hearing and looking for action from the board.
Move to approve.
Second.
And that's the recommended motion, correct? All right. Yes, Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Chris? Oh, sorry. Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye. Thank you.
Have a nice day, sir.
All right, with that, we're going to go into closed session.